Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful, and a national treasure, old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I am hot. I am hot and sweaty. I have sweat dripping off places that should not be sweating. And there's one reason I have sweat oozing out of me. It's not just pouring, it's not just dripping, it's oozing out of me.
Because it's 90 degrees outside?
Let me take you back to the far, far past known as yesterday.
Ah, there's the dream harp.
Ah, good, good. I ended up working a little overtime last night at the airport because apparently them pussies in Chicago, Washington, D.C., and New York can't handle a little thunderstorms. Therefore, had a bunch of flights leave anywhere from 1 to 4 hours late. And the one we had to hang for was one going to Phoenix because the plane was coming out of Chicago, going through St. Paul, and continuing on to Phoenix. So naturally, I figured, what the heck? I'll work a little overtime. It's what you call easy money. Normally you get people that they're hip on their phone and they come in at the last minute, so they're ready to close the door. But no, here they are coming through security and they want to argue why they can't get the water bottle through. And it's like, well, you got two choices. You can stay and argue or you can jump on your plane. You have people who smoke, really smoke, have to smoke. They go outside, they come through. They go outside, they come through. They go outside, they come through. Do they have enough time to do it one more time? They go out, they come in. And then you also get people who had gaze passes. They're usually coming up to pick up a minor or a family member or an elderly parent or something like that. So I figure, what the hell? I'll stay till noon or midnight, actually. Then at about 9 o'clock, my wife says, oh, remember the carpet that we're getting for Dana's new room? It's going to show up tomorrow at about 8 a.m. So Joe's mentally doing the time. Let's see, 12 noon. I'll get home about 1 a.m. Again, it's midnight, noon. You know, now you know why the military does the time the way they do. So if I'm lucky, I'll get home. I'll have about 6 hours of sleep. No, I didn't get to sleep till like 3 a.m. And then I got up at 7. So I'm working like at about 4 hours sleep. So basically what it is they're like, okay, they're going to come. My wife went to work, so I have to kind of stay at least on the main floor so if somebody knocks on the door, I can hear him and let him in. So I bring my computer upstairs, which isn't that big a deal. It's a laptop and a monitor. As you recall, my monitor on my laptop is totally gone, so I have a standalone one. I just drag him upstairs, plug him in. And I decide to bring my scanner in. And I figure, well, I'm going to just sit and do Facebook and games and eBay and whatever, and they should be here. About noon, this time real noon, my wife texts me to say, have they showed up yet? No, they haven't. Okay, well, let me find out why. Oh, okay, apparently they're going to show up at 5 p.m.
Oh!
And I'm like, why in blue blazes did I wake up at 7 after going to bed at 3, after working overtime till midnight? Got it right that time. Now, as Corey alluded to, it is like 90 degrees outside. It is sweaty. It is just nasty, nasty humid. Even as we speak, I had to do a mental pause because the weather radio is going on upstairs. We got some storms come rumbling through. So if I'm lucky, the power won't get shut off. So for the most of the day, I sat.
And if I'm lucky, it will.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Wait, what?
You're going to actually get more than we will, so you better be careful, Pepper Boy. Tornadoes hate trailer parks, you know.
Yeah, but I'm taking a look here at the good old Weather Underground to see if I'm under any warnings or such.
Might be just the standard, you know, everybody run for the hills. It's a thunderstorm watch.
Nah, it looks fine.
Good.
It's all good. It's all good. Now, I had to deal with the heat yesterday in a very different way. Because yesterday, you know, it was mid-80s. But I had a whole bunch of stuff to do. I had a podcast interview with Scott Nutter, which I put up last week, who's used to be my boss, is a powerlifter, and now runs at the largest powerlifting meet in the U.S. that also raises money for an organization called Hope Kids. If you have not listened to that podcast yet, go listen to it. It's phenomenal. And it has nothing to do with me. Scott's an amazing guy. He's gone through a journey. He's lost over 300 pounds. And earlier this year, he raised $250,000 with this powerlifting meet.
Million!
For HopeKids.org, which is a fantastic organization. But I had that interview going. I had some job interview stuff that I had to do because my current job doesn't pay well and bores the crap out of me and doesn't give me any benefits. And I really, really, really don't like being there. And, so I didn't have time to go to the gym, but I'm on my fitness thing. So I decided, hey, you know what? I have an hour and my DDP yoga takes a half hour. I'm fine. Not quite thinking that, you know, the house is a little warm. Like really warm, like, okay, it's impossible to get airflow. It's 85 outside. It's in the 90s in the house.
That's pretty much what the kitchen was.
Yeah. So, I start doing my DDP yoga and five minutes in, I'm just sweating.
I just sat and ate cookies. So I wasn't about to do yoga when it was like 90 degrees inside.
Well, you've heard of the hot yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was hot yoga without it being hot yoga. So I'm just sweating. And I quit doing the DDP yoga for a while. I'm getting back into it, and I'm, you know, ramping up, you know, doing more, making it tougher because you could do that with it. And I'm near the end of the workout. One of the things you do, you get into one of the positions, and then you go into a plank position. And you're supposed to hold it. Well, and he says, okay, we're going to hold this position. And when I'm ready, we're going to count it down. And then we're going to go down and hold for a three count. Now, when I say to count down with me. And one of the reasons they have you count down aloud and do things like that aloud is if you can't carry on a conversation while you're doing your workout, you're working out too hard and you need to back off. Well, my shirt's just drenched. I've got sweat pouring off my face, not dripping.
Wet t-shirt time. Woohoo!
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
I know. I'm just trying to stay positive before I.
So I'm in the plank, and he says, "All right, let's count it down: 9, 8, 7." And I'm doing it, and I'm like, 9, 8. Screw you, Paige. This sucks. And my son comes out of his room as I'm not counting down. I'm shouting how angry I am that I'm still in the goddamn plank position. And he just looks in and sees me, shakes his head, and goes back to his room. I don't know if that's part of the workout or not, but it got me through.
Sure, why not? We'll go with that.
But that's not why we get together every week, Joe,
no.
To complain about the heat.
Nope.
And talk about
and this
our,
is almost,
our workouts.
This is too early for freaking.
So I was thinking.
Uh-oh.
I have a friend who might be moving soon.
Ooh.
And this friend is someone who lives light. At one point, I remember she moved and she was able to fit pretty much everything she owned in a suitcase. And another one of my friends who lives in Europe has traveled all over the world because she doesn't own a lot of stuff. Now, you and I, Joe, we're comic collectors.
Oh, yeah.
And we're book hounds.
Yep.
The idea of moving fills me with a dread worse than when someone says, hey, there's a new Michael Bay movie out, and you are going to be forced to see it with the group home residents.
Or Adam Sandler and Michael Bay getting together to do a movie.
See, When you bring up Adam Sandler, you know what I think? And I've probably said this before.
If I did, we wouldn't have to do a podcast. We just think at each other.
Adam Sandler movies I always see as group home movies because the only people I know who really, really get excited and laugh themselves sick are people who live in group homes. When I worked with the teenagers in the group home, they thought that Billy Madison was the funniest thing ever, and they would watch that thing every couple of days. Now, at the group home I work at now, oh, you put in an Adam Sandler movie, and they're so happy. And one of the staff put on, I think it was Jack and Jill, where Adam Sandler plays himself and his sister. And I went to him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, did you put that movie on? He said, yes. And I said, well, you do know I now have to report you to the state for abuse, right?
Take him down. Hanging's too good for him.
See, the good thing is I can avoid Adam Sandler movies now because, oh, they're playing an Adam Sandler movie in the living room. I'll work on the laundry and I'll do this and I'll take care of my training and I'll walk outside with one of the residents and everything will be fine and I won't have to see it. But moving just fills me with a fear.
My friends basically point blank told me when we moved into our house some 20 odd years ago, this is the last time. And I mean the last. That moving your stuff. And it's mostly because of them damn comic book long boxes. Oh. And at the time, I probably had close to 100.
I have found one thing that's worse. There's only one thing worse than moving a bunch of comic boxes. Mm. My friend Tommy had a Tempur-Pedic mattress. You know what those are, Joe?
Yeah.
They're basically just a big rectangle of foam. And when you turn it on its side, you know, because it's so soft and everything, your hands sink in and everything sinks in and it doesn't stand up on its own. And it weighs over 200 pounds. So imagine you've got a king size mattress with the consistency of Nickelodeon's Gak. That weighs 200 pounds, and you're moving it out of one building into a truck and into another building. When he moved from his home to his bachelor apartment, his swinging bachelor pad, I said, I will move anything you have except that goddamn mattress. And he said, no, 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 the wife gets that. But I was thinking for this podcast, you have moved your shop before.
You're correct.
And I wanted to ask, first off, what goes into deciding that you needed to do that? And then we'll talk through any stories you have about it.
Well, we could also, considerations you had. It's funny you mention that because crack.com has an article, 5 mistakes you'll make the next time you move.
Oh.
Number 5, trying to get back at your old landlord.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's his or her fault. It always blaming the landlord. And, of course, you don't want to do that because you want your, what do they call it, safety deposit?
You want your deposit back. Yeah. One person I know was very angry about the fact that they were losing their house. It was eviction. No, what is it when you default on your mortgage and they tell you
it's eviction.
You have to
be pretty much eviction, okay. Yeah. Usually I get the sheriff
it's
to come.
It's called something else.
Come get you.
But on the last night, you know, they had a party for all the people who would be helping them move, and one of the people brought over a big tray of shrimp. And this gentleman was very angry about the fact that the bank was repoing the house. So in one of the hanging light fixtures, that's where he put all the discarded shrimp tails.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what the landlord wants because what they don't realize is that in the lease agreement, the owner of the place just can't return or keep the deposit on the whim because there's laws to protect the renters, but they just want you to do anything wrong so they can keep it. And that's mistake number 4, not realizing how many rights you have. You know, there's a lot of places where don't have electricity, don't have running water, colony of spider creatures living in your shower drain. You know, it's not you signed a lease, they own your soul. They can make, you can make a home or an apartment untenantable, which means if your landlord doesn't fix it when you ask, you just stop paying rent and can leave with no repercussions. And you usually can get away with it because a lot of these guys don't want to end up in small claims court where you don't need a lawyer, because then if they don't show up, you win automatically. So it's just, you got to figure this stuff out. Number three, forgetting that every problem you have is already solved. You know, you can get your mail forwarded. If you want to pay $18 a week, you can have it sent by priority mail. You're not going to miss bills. You're not going to miss payments. A lot of that stuff's online now. You know, don't let silly bureaucratic nonsense, you know, roll you down. You know, if you're ready to move, of course, you know, there are things you still got to figure out when you move into a place, and it's super useful, you know, to, you know, ask neighbors, you know, find out which internet provider's better, how to get your bed up that narrow flight of stairs, best place to score weed, you know, things like that. So
the best place to score weed in Minnesota is to go to the doctor and say, hey, what disease do I got to have to buy this stuff?
Another mistake that people make, and we're at number two, not looking at enough places. Sure, you want to move, but you should look at lots and lots of places. And we'll even get back to that when we start talking more about the shop, things like that, because, you know, things you got to look at. Do they make you pay for electricity? Do they cover things? Whatever. And number one, forgetting to be just cool about shit. You know, just relax. Be cool about shit. I cannot stress the importance of being cool about shit in every possible situation. You know, first few nights, you can have unexpected problems. Maybe meth addicts get spun under your bedroom window. Maybe there's a 2:30 a.m. train that runs through your kitchen. Or maybe you have ants. Just be cool about shit, okay? And that's really probably the number one thing to worry about. Have I taken us far off enough course, or are we still on topic?
Yeah, I can always bring you back on topic. So let's take our minds back
to
1997.
Yes. It was a very good year.
The Simpsons were on the TV. Yep. There was a Law and Order series on the TV.
Clear cola craze had us all running to the stores.
I saw the Cranberries live in concert. I saw U2 live in concert.
A lot of soda was okay.
No, okay soda was gone by then.
No, I had okay when we had the Big Shop.
Well, you had some old stuff because they discontinued it.
We stocked up on that, baby. We were still feeding the neighborhood kids Jolt, so that was good enough.
And you had been in your shop for a total of 5 years. Pat had cashed out because he was tired of the toys.
Got toys. Not more.
So how did you come to the decision that you wanted to move to a bigger shop? Were sales increasing? Was it you had too much stuff?
Yeah, that's pretty much
Walk me through the idea.
I had too much freaking stuff. And what was amazing, okay, there was a place next door that was a pet store, and it had real pets, which was kind of neat because when we were putting up our wire rack, you know, Brian brought over one of those nail guns that uses 22 caliber shells. So he would take the gigantic gun, load it up, hit it with a hammer, bam, and then you hear, rah, 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 you know, next door. As pets went insane. And, of course, we fired about 50 pieces at the wall to get everything up. Finally, as we got to like number 39, the dogs were about the only ones that wanted to play anymore. Everybody else was like, eh, whatever, we're used to it. So we toyed with this idea, or I should say I toyed with an idea. I was thinking, you know, maybe I should move over there. And I went over and I talked to the people there and looked around and got kind of a lay of the land. We had started out, I think we were about 800 square feet. We had a weird box out in our store. So it was kind of like the shape of Utah flipped over. And when the video store left next door, we were able to claim that space and straighten out the wall and make it an actual 1,000-foot shop. what it was is it was kind of like there was a, or I'm sorry. Yeah, it was about 1,000 feet because it was about 2,000 square feet between the shop next to us and our shop. And it was divided with a false wall, which brought its own oddities in because when the neighbors moved in, the neighbor next door was always freezing all the time. So she wanted the heat on, which was fine during one of our infamous, you know, sub-zero winters. But when it was like 80 degrees outside, she still wanted it 90 degrees. So we always had to kind of, you know, well, we'd like the AC on. No, she wants the guy. Well, I'll just wear more sweaters. No, no, we'll turn the heat down. You know, it was just, it was goofy. But the big thing was, is I was looking at how to expand the business. I mean, we had toys, we had comics. We had a tough time squeezing in any graphic novels. There were a lot of sundry items that we were selling, and it was anywhere from lighters to Kubricks to shot glasses to T-shirts, just fun things. So when these guys moved out, I talked with the landlord. Now, we had a unique situation where our landlord was not a landlord per trade. He actually was running the fabric shop, who took up the majority of the mall. He just happened when they moved into the spot that was vacated. And I forget, it was like about half the mall. I can't remember what was there beforehand that moved out. I remember Pawn America tried to move in, and that got the neighborhood in a tizzy. Oh, no, a pawn shop's moving in. Never mind, there was already a pawn shop way down on the corner. I mean, we went into it once. I think Butch and I walked in. And it was interesting because they had two interlocking doors, and they neither would open at the same time. And we're like, well, we want to come in. We have to wait because there's people in the store. Yes, we would like to be one of them. Pawn America is actually a pretty decent in terms of pawn shops. I mean, I know they... One of our ex-teenage fan club apparently didn't have a good experience there, but when she got up into the job world. But for the most part, you know, they were probably the most respectable you were going to get out of a pawn shop. So I remember when their lawyer came by, a fairly hot-looking Asian chick, and she was talking to me about, do you have any objections of us moving in? Because obviously she's trying to get the lay of the land where she's expect her opposition from. And I said, well, as long as you don't carry collectibles or comic books, I really have no concern. My big concern is I didn't want to see that huge space empty, because that's a kiss of death for any shopping mall. You can think of a mall probably close to you where there's a huge retail space open, and you know, you're not thinking, oh, I'm coming to this shop because it's cool. You're thinking, oh boy, this place is kind of dead city. And that, if it doesn't get turned around quickly, can really bury a shopping mall quick. Pawn America didn't move in, but then I think it's Mill and Textiles, they moved in. And the landlord, the previous landlord, again, he wasn't a landlord by trade. He was more of a lawyer. And he just happened to have this building, and he got it because he got a great deal on it. Well, then he made a similar deal to the owner of the textile store. You can own the building and we'll give you a great deal on it. So this guy was not a landlord by trade. He was just a reluctant landlord because now he's got, I think, with like 9,000 square feet full of fabric. And believe me, I wish I had.
He just wanted it gone.
I wish I had the traffic he had, because it was crazy. There were certain advantages because he wasn't like, hey, it's, you know, first of the month and your rent's not here. Oh, good Lord, man, it's 12:01. I haven't even written the check yet. So he was kind of cool as long as he got the rent. You know, there were times where when things were weird, I gave him like half the rent, gave him the next half later. So knowing this, I was looking at the spot next to him, and he's thinking the same thing I am. Here's a 3,000 square foot shop that's now going to be vacated. And I came up with him and I said, well, here's the deal. What is the going market rate for a place like that? And at the time he said, well, about $3,000 a month. And I think I was paying like $15 or $18 a month, maybe. And I said, well, here's the deal. I will sign a 5-year lease, and we'll start at $2,500 a month, and then increase it $100 a year until we get to the $3,000, and then eventually you end up recouping what you would have made. More importantly, you don't have a blank spot. And that was the deal that we signed. So with that in mind, we waited for the pet store to move out, and it was killing me because, I mean, I was watching them move, and of course they're leaving pet food behind and they're grinding it into the carpet. And, you know, I'm pretty sure there's mice running around. And so, you know, every day I was dying a little bit more just watching them. Finally, they got out. And the deal was, he was going to give me a month to get set up. So now I had this great spot. As I was going around town, I found used fixture places. There was a NASCAR shop going out of business. I bought a bunch of displays from him. I scored a jeweler's cabinet. That's that one where you get the two buttons and the trays go one way. You press it, it goes the other way. If you press them enough, you can get them to flip inside and get the guy real angry at you. And those things run like about $2,000. I was able to find.
Why did everything dump out?
That's because they go this way, they go that way. I bought what I thought was a real cooler. Later on, I found out it was a candy cooler designed to keep candy bars cool, but not to keep pop cool. But we figured, you know what? We got enough room. We could get some more showcases. We could get a pop machine, a cooler. And Big Eddie ended up taking care of that while I was gone. He said, yeah, a guy from Colt come in. Or was it Pepsi? I think it was Pepsi because they were looking. Colt was real. They were number one, and they were real egotistical. They're like, well, if you can't guarantee any sales, I don't know. We've never carried your product before. They only wanted to deal with, you know, mom and pops and the gas station across the street. Pepsi come in, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a cooler. Just fill it with Pepsi product. Order it direct from us. Okay. And it got kind of weird because during that time period when we had their cooler, Pepsi went on strike, and I couldn't get Pepsi product. So we'd end up going mostly to Sam's Club, and that's where we started filling it up with all sorts of weird sodas like Rat Bastard and Orbitz and things we've talked about in past. What was it? What was the Blue Pea one? Brainwash Blue?
Brainwash Blue.
Yes, yes. There. Okay, we've mentioned Blue Pea. We've mentioned... Oh, we haven't gotten to Christina Hendricks yet. Okay, we'll get to her. So there was just all this potential. First thing we did is we went out and we picked up new grid work. That's the stuff that's got those long lines in it, and then you hook your displays in it, as opposed to pegboards, which are all a bunch of little dots. Figured the grid work worked a little better because then I could actually buy stuff directly from, I think it was Specialty Store Services. And I called them, and I bought a bunch of comic racks. A truck delivered them. So now the month is continuing, I'm getting slat wall delivered. I've got displays from this old shop. I've got two pallets of the new displays that we use. And these are the ones that you commonly see now at comic shops where they lay flat and the books lay flat on them, and they got like about a 2 to 4 inch lip. We had some for higher up. The goal was for the one side of the shop to just be a wall of comics. In the back, we scored a bunch of bookcases from an old Walden Books. Actually, I take that back.
Yeah, I remember us going. It was, I thought it was the coolest idea, and I was amazed that they didn't make it. It was a coffee shop / bakery that also sold comics. And they had all these book racks. And was it they had too many rid of some?
Yeah, what it was is he worked at an old Barnes & Noble, and when they switched from their old wood ones to the current ones they have, which are metallic, they were getting rid of them, just cheap, $10 a pop. And he had a whole barnload full of them. And I told him, I said, well, I'm looking to expand. And he ended up selling me a bunch of them. And what we planned to do, that would end up being the entire back wall where we exploded our graphic novels. Another piece we picked up was one from a very old comic book store called St. Paul Comic, where one of the places I originally bought my comic books. It ended up in the Funk Pit, which was way up White Bear and County Road E.
The Funk Pit is a little old
it
place
was.
Where
people just hung out 24/7. It was awesome. And then the owner,
did they eat rock lobster?
He might have, because I didn't go there late at night. But I did go in there.
I went there once, and you know how I talk about comic shops in the 80s were dark, dingy? I went in there, and I swear to God, they didn't have a single light on.
I usually went during the day.
It was the day. It was a cloudy day, and I walked in.
Was that the one?
Like,
was that the one way far north, or was that the one that ended up it was part of a shopping mall?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, because they had two stores. They ended up moving too because they were going to a bigger spot.
Yeah, I just went there once because you talked about it, and I went in, and I just remember they were huge on the magic cards. They didn't have a lot in the way of comics. And I walked in, and this is classic 80s comic shop, even though this was the 90s. I walked in, started looking around. No one looked up from what they were doing to say hi, to see what I was doing. I didn't go to the back of the store because it's like they don't have the lights on for some reason. And I don't want to go where
probably
it's
sleeping
dark.
Back there.
Probably had a couple hobos living under the racks.
Well, the piece we got was just a huge, heavy piece. And it ended up becoming the base of the back wall because it was the only thing that was freestanding. Everything else, they were designed to lean against each other. And I didn't realize that when we bought them. So what we ended up...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
that
I remember
scary.
We put them up and then we had to put something behind them. And it ended up being things like when we started carrying candy, they told us, okay, you can only store candy on a wire rack. Why? Apparently mice don't climb metal. I don't know. We had a big desk there that was supposed to be my desk, but it ended up being where I think somebody creatively had Scott Hall doing amazingly immoral things with a Britney Spears doll. To which when my little daughter came in and said, oh, can I play with that? And I had to knock it down and go, yeah, go ahead. You can play with Britney. I think we had some actual racks there. This is before we actually built the wood racks that we used to just, I don't know, load with crap. So everything was kind of falling into shape. I envision kind of an island where the displays would be, the cooler. I found a little curved rack. That would be where the cash register was and a glass display. You'd have the wall of comics. And I think that side of the shop, what did we measure that at? 1,000 feet long? So we were doing about at least 800 feet of comics, about five rows laying at the 45-degree angle. And then at a 90-degree angle, we had two racks above it. That's where, like, we stored Vertigo and graphic novels and the early variant covers. The very back wall would be the graphic novels. Behind that would be storage. And then on the other side, where the wall kind of butted out because you had the concrete support columns, we would cut slat wall to fit, and that's where I would hang the toys. In between would be different racks. I had book racks. I had mobile racks. I remember we filled them with collector toys. We did Hot Wheels. In the front, we ended up with a pop machine that I believe came from the comic archives. We had a TV up on the wall with a VCR. We had a stereo system. We put a very, very old couch and love seat that my wife and I had from when we first moved into our house. She wanted a new one. I thought, well, this would be the place where we can hang. And Corey spent many hours working on back issues. So we filled it up. I think Scott Gallatin came. He helped me. We measured the slat wall. We found out that the concrete floor was not flat but crooked, so we had to lift everything like 3 inches off the wall. We ended up cutting out some of the wall and back because we found an infestation of mice. And that's when we called I can't think of that.
Plunkett,
thank you. And they came and they basically eliminated mice everywhere except near the back door where the restroom was. So for the most part, we were able to eliminate it. The one thing I didn't do that I thought of, we had had a subscriber who worked for 3M, had his own carpet cleaning service. And he came in and he cleaned the carpet as best he could. What I should have done is just laid down new carpet. But we didn't. And, you know, of all the things we had, that was probably the worst part of the big store, was just the carpet was dying. I mean, we had to put displays over it. We had to put duct tape down. But there was no way we were going to get new carpet in once we had everything down. So Scott came in. I think we spent a couple weekends. We lifted the particle board, or gridwork, I'm sorry. Once the bottom piece was done, you could fit the top piece in. We'd marked where the studs were. We drilled it in so it was concrete to the wall. We ended up cutting what we needed. I mean, it went up real fast. It went up real pretty. And it was just, we were just ready to go. We decided, okay, this is going to be weekend. We're closed. We're going to make the move. Move everything from the 1,000-square-foot store over to the... And I figured, you know, we're going to have so much space. We're going to just... I'm going to need to go, like, on a buying spree to fill it up. Ooh, how wrong I was. The graphic novels, like I said, I don't remember if Diamond gave me a good deal and said, you know, here's the deal. You know, buy, you know, $5,000 worth of graphic novels. We'll put it on your bill in, like, a bunch of monthly payments. There was something that allowed me to expand graphic novels fast. The comics were great because now we could lay them out and you could have them face up and we could leave several months at a time so people could dig. It's a fairly common arrangement that you see in comic stores now, but we were one of the first to actually do it. The toys were even more fun because it used to be, okay, here are all the X-Men toys, but now we could lay them out by characters. And so by the time we finished doing that, we filled the entire side because Spawn toys were hot. The X-Men Marvel toys were hot. We had wrestling toys. I'd have to go back and look at the pictures, but I mean, we laid out the toys in such a manner that that was what we owned. The way the source sold games, we sold toys. And by having them all face out, people could come in and see, we were able to use. Now they have it, it's like plastic tables you buy with folding tables. Back then it was particle board tables, you know, the type that the pro wrestlers like to get thrown through. So we bought a bunch of those from Sam's Club. That became our graphic novels, or our back issues, and we laid those out. And then we had the other displays. We filled them up. We made islands. I mean, the layout was really cool. When we made the move, I had a group of about 20 people helping me, and it was just a case of, okay, pick up the comics, bring them over, drop them off, you know, just alphabetically. Bring the toys over, lay them down, we'll sort them as we can. The display cases we moved, I think the hard ones were the tall glass ones that we put the statues in, because we found out as they were moving, the bottoms were rotted out.
Yes. And oh, my God, it was a nightmare.
Thank God for Mr. Wilson, because he came through. I think he rebuilt those bottoms while we were busy trying to move things.
Now, did you shut down the store for this, or was the store open these
days? No, we were shut down because it was so – the move was so dramatic. We just told everybody in advance, and see, 97, we were probably email – no, I don't think we were emailing. I think newsletter, we told people ahead of time. We had an answering machine. We had I think at that time we had gotten rid of the voicemail because I didn't have the little warehouse in back. That was part of when I made the move. I had to give that up because the landlord had that little space in the back, which
that
ironically
had been the original Hot Comics.
The original Hot Comics. And they had another little business that wanted to move back there. So we gave that up, which was fine because all that stuff that was stored there came into the big store. Gosh, I wish I had my photos of that just to see who was there that I could thank. But we had a lot of guys. We had a lot of fun. It was just, eventually you get to the point where all okay, comics removed, toys removed. Now you got just the dreck. Throw it in a box, get it over there. We'll spend the rest of our days sorting it.
The thing I remember was we got all the stuff out of the warehouse and we got all the comics. And my first real project was to get the back room completely organized for back issues. And Butch built these huge wooden racks that could hold the comic boxes.
And you could sleep on. And you could wrestle on. And you could park a 747 on.
And what I did, I went through the back issues and I put them in order. And then I went through the back issues that you had out. And because if you're going through back issues and you see seven copies of something, you're going to go, oh, well, nobody wants this.
Yeah.
But if you go through and there's only like one or two, they're going to sell better. Mm. Learned that at Schinders. So I went through and anything we had more than, you know, three copies of, pull a copy, put it in the back, keep them in order. Then I'd go through every so often and go, oh, we need some more Wolverines. Go in the back, pull out the Wolverines we need. And that system really held together, which surprised me because you had so many different people doing so much stuff that I was sure that within a year it'd be a mess.
Yeah, it did actually work out really well. What was nice is back then we were still doing the monthly Comic-Con, so I could run through. I figure I had enough room in my truck to bring maybe eight boxes of long comics, so I'd pick the expensive stuff or the rare stuff or things that I knew that were hot and then bring it all back. If something's sold out, we were able to fill it fast. There were a couple times I think you and Butch got into kind of a I don't want to call it a pissing match because I don't think you guys knew you were doing it, but Butch would see like, holy cow, down in the quarter box, here's a run of ROMs. He'd put them up in the top and they would sell. And then you'd come along and go, oh man, nobody's buying these ROMs. Let's put them back in the quarter box. And they would sell. And so I didn't really say much. I just let you guys keep doing that because the bottom line were they were selling. And I just remember.
My big thing was if I had seen it and it had not moved for a year, get it out. Get rid of it. It's just taking up space costing money.
Well, and that's when the big cons came around, the formerly known as Spring Con, Fall Con. When those came around, those were the.
And now it's MSNBC Comic Con.
MSNBC?
Right?
Why not?
MSNBC Comic Con. That's what I'm calling it from now on.
But then what we did is when we got a pricing gun and I made it a code on there with the date. So we had the month. Was it the month, year, and then the category for the rest? Well, the category we knew was like number two all the time.
Yes.
I think I had the month and the date on it. So that way you could look at it and go, oh my Lord, this has been here over so long.
Yeah.
The one thing I do recall more as we got towards the end of the store, and I made we were just blowing everything out. As we emptied out the back room and put it out front, we had a ton of Superman comics from the return forward because everybody was buying it. Every collection that came in had them. Even in the quarter boxes, they weren't selling. They were, oddly enough, not the death, not before the death, and less so up maybe the first couple months before they stopped publishing altogether. It was like every collection that came back had those books. And, you know, we had one or two out in the box and one or two in the quarter bins, and I always quartered them at the cons. You know, we churned a lot of back issues. The problem was, you know, when someone would come in to sell them, they wouldn't necessarily, I think we bought a lot at like $10 a long box.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who couldn't or didn't want to do it that, and I understood. But it was always like, Corey, I just bought another 25 boxes.
All right.
And he ripped through them and found what.
Fire up the ECW. Yep.
I even bought out the Funk Pit and I think Jim's Comic Emporium. And there were a couple other smaller shops when they went under. I just went in and $10 a long box. Bring them up. I don't care what's in it. I'll figure it out.
The one thing I read recently about the return of Superman, there are a lot of people who will point to Adventures of Superman 500 and say, that is where the bubble burst. And the people who are saying that are people who worked in the industry.
I don't know about that. I think it was when he returned. Because you had five.
That was Adventure of Superman number 500. No. That was the big return issue.
No, I'm not talking.
The 3D cover.
No. 500 was the white bag one.
Yeah.
It was the ones after that where they had now four Supermen. Are they or aren't they? And they had the regular comic. And then that die cut cover. Because that was there was 3 months between the stop and the start of that? I forget what it was. I thought it was February, and then it started again in April, because we had that odd letter come from Diamond Comics warning retailers that, guys, you've ordered a lot of comics, and we're not sure the market's going to be able to come this. We don't want you going out of business. And we didn't. I think we ended up selling out. But back then, you know, people were real hip on it, too, you know, trying to figure out who's the Superman that's coming back. Is he or isn't he? You know, it was kind of exciting, but, you know, now those comics are just quarter bins, at least.
See, I never thought of that as the book that broke the camel's back, and maybe, you know, it's just me being a doofus, but for me, I remember in your shop the point where you said the bubble had burst, and that was at Turok number one.
Yeah.
Was that Turok number one? There were tons of them. It wasn't the cover they promised, and you couldn't return it.
And the thing was, is what one of the things that got me sore is we sold through what we bought, but for the retailers that cried and bitched and moaned, they ended up getting like a Turok Gold edition, which we never got. I don't know if I got one when I finally ran into Valiant at a show and said, you know what? I played the game. I sold out. I got Butkus, the guys who complained, you pacified. You know, where's mine? I don't think I ever did get anything. Although I can't complain. I got the sales. I didn't cry and moan about it. We just sold it.
And then you weren't around, and not very many people knew. You know, you sold the shop to Brian, who then sold it in a very shady maneuver to Christy. And Christy could not keep up with the rent and such. So she went scouring and found a really nice shop. And I really think if she could have held on for another 3 to 6 months, she would have gotten over that hump.
What was interesting, too, because if you recall, I started Crazy Comics when I knew she was going out of business.
Right.
Later that fall, the big Shinders collapsed. All those stores, how many were there? 16?
13?
They were gone. And even with Crazy Comics, I keep thinking, if I had just hung on long enough, maybe Crazy would have gone over the top, you know?
It's hard to say. You can't really judge.
Well, you didn't know.
Because, you know, yeah, Shinders went under. Where did their customers go?
Well, I know.
Remember what Nick always said. Half the people don't buy anymore.
And I also know.
The other half go to other shops.
A lot of people went to the source because they had a tough couple months trying to adjust their orders for everybody coming in.
Yeah.
And I did close Crazy Comics. I did make a deal with Bob and Nick where they gave me cards, complimentary cards for 6 months so everybody could go over to the source and get the discount. And I told people, here's your list. Let them know what you want so you're not going to miss a comic and that you will continue. I don't know how many people did, like you said, stop collecting altogether. There are people that I have not seen ever again. You know, usually I used to see them at very least at the art auctions and things like that when they, you know, I was up front helping and they'd come by and say hi. People I've never seen again. There are people that probably went online. I know a couple went online. I think that's when I first heard about Discount Comic Book Service.
That was me.
And I think Dan Wiesemeyer went, one of the original owners of Hot Comics. And he, I know a couple guys went over to Twin City Comics, but most of them, you know, a lot went to the source. You know, they were really happy about that. And it was the same thing. I didn't want to close the shop. And have everybody, where am I going to get my comics? What's all about the stuff I went on order? You know, that's one of the reasons Pat and I never took pre-orders for comics. Because when the original source, not the current one, but the original source guys went out of business, they took all the prepaid orders with them. All these guys were out money. And when Bob reopened the source, bless his soul, he made good on as many people as he possibly could because he wanted the business. He realized he may be taking it in the shorts briefly, but he'd get those people return business, and it worked. But Pat and I just right away, we said, we're not going to take pre-order money, because if we decide to close up, we don't want anybody hounding us or feel like we're in debt to anybody.
Right.
I do recall when I had Crazy Comics, one guy came in and he had a Hot Comics gift certificate. And knowing that I had owned Hot Comics, he asked me if he could redeem it. And I said, well, you know, I really have nothing to do with that because it wasn't my signature. And, you know, and he took off. And I thought, you know what? When he comes back, I'll probably, you know, I'll honor it. I'll tell him I'll honor that, because just like Bob did, the key thing, he never came back. So, and in some ways, I'm kind of like, well, you know, you were just here to try to cash into something you should have cashed in years ago. Or maybe you were just cleaning your drawers and you suddenly found, hey, look what's in the back here. You know, I was under no legal obligation to do it, but I thought, yeah, I'll be a nice guy. But he never came back.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Now, your move to the new shop was organized. Christie's was not.
I don't think I was around for it. Was I working?
Nope.
I must have been working TSA at the time.
Yes, you were already at the TSA, and it was one of those things where it was, she had to be out of that store by a certain day. And she stayed open, and it was a Friday night, because I remember I did not work at the group home that weekend, and she had a few people with trucks.
Now, let me ask you a few questions.
She just loaded everything up into those trucks, went over to the new shop, and was just wheeling it in, and it was almost like a silent movie, how, you know, oh, another truck's here, boom, and that truck would leave, and another truck would show up, boom, boom,
now,
boom,
let me,
boom, boom, boom.
A couple of questions here. How did she find the new place?
She knows that area of North St. Paul. And it was a corner shop that was empty. And I don't know how she, you know, negotiated the deal or walked through it or whatever. But it was one of those where she was told she had to be out at the end of the month. I think it was like on the 15th. And, you know, was really just freaking out over
it. Okay, so she... Because
let's remember,
she notify,
Christie was what, 22, 23?
She notified the landlord that she was moving? Is that why?
No, the landlord notified her she had to move.
Because?
Non-payment of rent.
Ah.
So, you know, she's freaking out over it. She finds a shop. She's in love with where it is. She's in love with
it. It was a good spot, too.
Yeah, that's why I said another 6 months. Because those Friday nights, man, they had this thing where they'd shut down the street and they'd have live music and they'd have, you know, the people who sold the horrible carnival food and the streets were just filled.
Oh, yeah.
And we would have people coming in, buying the weirdest stuff. And it was leading up to, I think, the second Spider-Man movie, the one with Dr. Octopus. So anything with Spider-Man or Dr. Octopus was gone. And the problem was she couldn't restock. She didn't have the money to restock.
Mm.
So we, but it was all one night. And I tapped out probably around 1 or 2 in the morning, and she stayed until, you know, the store opened the next day. She's still putting stuff up, still merchandising. I guess they already had slot racks in the wall, so she was able to just put those racks right up. And, you know, the store was open while she was putting things in place that whole weekend. And I think at the time she would close on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had another job and she couldn't get anybody to work. So she took the day off from her job on Monday and just worked pretty much those 4 days straight to get the shop set up. And for the amount of stuff she had and the fact that it was a much smaller space, she did a really good job of packing it all in there.
Well, that was another question. Did she leave anything behind?
No. I think anything that didn't go into the shop went to her house.
Now, I know Brian did a wholesale clearance of a lot of the displays that I had bought.
Yeah.
Were there any that made it over to the new shop?
I honestly don't remember.
I don't remember the bookcases being there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with a lot of the stuff because, like I said, I tapped out around 2 in the morning. I was just exhausted. And there wasn't room for the bookcases. And I remember for the first couple months, she just had the graphic novels in long boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't room to display them yet. I wish I would have taken more pictures of that shop. I don't think I have any.
Did Christy ever do any of the Comic Cons that were still around?
No, she wasn't open.
So she never went to the MCBA's Fall Con comic book party coming up this October 10th, 2015, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. One Day Wonder?
No, she didn't. Oh, okay. She didn't last till fall.
Oh.
You know who else, you know who's gonna last till fall?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors! You may not be able to join the mighty Marvel Marching Society anymore, or even the Friends of Old Marvel, but you can visit our sponsors. Our oldest sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, go to DreamHost.com. They will take care of you as they've been taking care of me for over 15 years. If you use the code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year of hosting. If you are listening to this podcast, you are very good looking. That's right. As a good looking person, you can't trust your skin to any old razor. That's why you need to shave with the amazing razors you could get delivered from the Dollar Shave Club. Every month they send a box with your shaving supplies. At the beginning of the week, or whenever you want, you pop in a fresh blade and get that fresh blade shave. It feels fantastic, and it's just one of the many, many ways that you can maintain the good looks that everyone has come to expect from you. And if you join us at the Dollar Shave Club, their plans start at just $3 a month. They have a money-back guarantee, and there is no excuse for you to ever use any other razor. So just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, to get started. One of the things you need to do this year, you need to get healthy. We all need to be healthy so we can all hang out a lot longer. And one of the ways to get healthy is not to go down to the vending machine and buy those chips or those candy bars or any of the other vending machine snacks. You want healthy snacks picked out by actual chefs who know what they're doing, and you can do that at graze.com. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, your first and fifth box are free, so you can try it out. See if that's the kind of stuff you like. That's CORYS3R5P. Our final sponsor is Worldwide News. Worldwide News is the story of the lowest rated cable news network and the people who work there. It is updated twice a week by writer Corey Strode. Hey, that's me! And artist Dangerous Dan Moore. Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com, part of the Solitaire Rose family of websites. If you would like to contact us, there are a whole bunch of ways. You can email us at corey.strode@gmail.com. You can give us a call. We have a voice line that is open at all times at 952-856-0519, or you could go to Facebook and join the Crazy Comics and Stuff fan page. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or on Solitaire Rose Radio, you can. Just send me an email at corey.strode@gmail.com. Subject advertising. Thanks.
All right. I think that was the most labored segue we've ever done.
Oh, no. I've done far worse.
Yeah, okay. I'll buy you that.
Well, we've already gone an hour.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, Joe, what's the one segment we do? That was one of our longest tales from the shop ever.
Yeah.
What do we do every episode?
Then and now, the cast of Bonanza.
Aren't most of them dead?
Maybe.
Dead? I didn't even know they were sick! No, we do Freaking and Geeking. Ooh. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, I never did get the carpet in. Them some bitches never showed up.
Goddamn some bitches.
So I sat and sweat at the kitchen table for nothing. I did, however, at my wife's insistence, drag the computer back downstairs. So I'm in the relative cool of the basement right now, which is kind of cool. So, but I was kind of pissed off because, like I said, I basically wasted the whole frickin' day. And now tomorrow they think, well, we'll try again tomorrow. I said, no, you won't. I got shit I want to do. You're coming after 1 p.m. because this boy's got new comic books to go pick up. Well, TSA bashing continues.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and the funny thing was, is one of the whistleblowers from my own airport was at the TSA oversight committee today. The one that got evacuated because someone called in a bomb threat to them and to the White House. The stupidity of some people, you know, it's like, really? The White House? They got it on tape where they were doing a briefing in the White House press room and they had to stop. Like, everybody leave now. And, you know, you're telling a bunch of reporters to suddenly leave. And then the same thing happened in the committee hearing. So I've actually got the transcript I'm trying to read as to what was said, because I don't think I want to spend one hour, 46 minutes of my life covering that. So, well, I'm sorry to say one of my favorite things is over. I'm giving up White Castles.
What?
Yep. You know me. I love me a slider. Have for many, many years. But apparently the bimbo running White Castle now doesn't want my business. She apparently wants to go for a younger, hipper crowd. And she started by firing a lot of guys who have been there for like 30 years. When's the last time you heard of a guy hanging at a fast food place for 30 years? You know, there's a story making the rounds about two gentlemen, Terry Franson and Alan Spreeman, who were lifelong managers at White Castle. And they climbed the corporate ladder from frying, or actually they don't fry, they steam those burgers all the way up. They had their daughters working there. He met his wife at White Castle. And then 2012, they were suddenly put in positions where they were pretty much set up to fail, overloaded with responsibilities, told to run day-to-day operations of stores that were like 60 miles apart, cut their pay from like 27 an hour to 10. Why? Well, apparently Lisa Ingram, the daughter of previous CEO Bill Ingram, stepped into power in 2011 and decided that they want millennials, kids who are tuned to the digital era, not set in their ways and open-minded. They don't want old people. They don't want old school. They don't want to see an elderly person sitting down at White Castle eating. They want a cool, hip young people doing it. These two people I've mentioned earlier have basically filed age discrimination lawsuits against White Castle. And Lisa, the COO of White Castle, is allegedly on record saying that they don't really want old people eating at White Castle.
I have a question, Joe.
Well, yeah, I'm old. I guess I'm not eating at White Castle anymore.
Has this CEO been in a White Castle?
Well, apparently she has, because all she sees is old people and she don't want them.
I've been in a White Castle. Pretty much all of them look like something out of the 1930s.
Now, see,
you're not going to get young, hip people to go there if it still looks like. And really, you know, who eats at White Castle? Poor people, fat people, and stoners. Embrace your audience.
Well, it's not that you have to embrace them, but if you're going to go for an old one, you don't have to blow off your bread and butter. eBay did that with when they decided, well, we want to be Amazon, forgetting the idea that when Amazon wanted to be eBay, eBay kicked their ass. No, they decided we want to be like Amazon, totally blew away their auction. I don't hear of people saying, I'm going to eBay to buy something. No, you go to Amazon to buy something.
Damn right. I got me my Amazon Prime. To me, this is awesome.
I got a couple things to say to Miss Ingram. First of all, you're blowing it. Second of all, I've tried to feed White Castle to my daughters, the young people you're trying to get. They hate them. They don't like them. It's an acquired taste. You're going to have a tough uphill battle because these kids don't do it. And second of all,
they are. That's one of the things about the young audience, the younger audience. They are moving toward the healthier burgers. They're moving toward Five Guys. They're moving toward Smash Burgers. They're moving toward Burger Jones. They want a higher end burger when they go out for their burger and fries. That's why McDonald's is in so much trouble, because McDonald's can't really figure out what to do. McDonald's serves cheap, crappy burgers. Well, guess what? People who are 18 to 34, they don't want cheap, crappy burgers. They want to be healthier. They're going to go to a place where it uses healthier ingredients, healthier stuff, and they're willing to pay for it.
You can get a decent malt. I know my daughters love Snuffy's Malt Shop up in Roseville. Not too far away from the source. You know, it's like, where do you want to go? Snuffy's.
I wouldn't go to a place that has the word snuff in the name.
I would. The other problem is, and she's saying, we want to hip into the digital age. One of the staples I always buy whenever I'm stuck at a holiday like Thanksgiving or New Year's or whatever, and I'm at work, is I always bring in a case. What do they call them? Crave case or crave carrot. You know, just 30 or 60 of these burgers, half cheeseburgers, half jalapenos, whatever. Well, they have a digital online one where you go ahead, order them online. I've tried it twice. They've never, ever worked. I've called the restaurants in question. I said, did you get my order? No, we didn't, but we'll go ahead and get it for you. So if you're really going to go digital, you better figure out how the damn thing works, because so far it hasn't. And, you know, the reason I try is because if you do order one of these cases online, they'll give you $5 off. And to the manager's credit, they did give me the $5 off, but it's like they never got my order. So strike 1, 2, 3, you're out, which is really too bad because of all the burgers, White Castle is one of the healthier ones because they steam it. They steam the fat out of them.
And that's why they suck, because fat is good. Flavor.
No, but I like White Castle. And the problem
you're
is...
You're a sick individual.
I like them, and that was always my routine on Wednesday, is I'd stop at the source, maybe hit one more store, and grab a number one with cheese and a medium diet Coke and eat them on the way home. But if that's the way they're going to be, she doesn't want my business. Screw you, guy. I'm going home. You know, I mentioned today I was sitting waiting for the knock that never came on the door in the 90-degree heat. And I spent a lot of time on Facebook today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it was really... There's a certain dumbing down of America, and I'm pretty sure social media has to do with it, because there's way, way too many people posting things because they believe it, not because of the facts. You know, we could get on and on about global warming. Oh, no, it didn't happen. Funny, the only scientists that say that are the ones working for the oil companies. But what got me is that, you know, there's this whole thing down in Texas where a cop raided a pool party and the place was in chaos, and he pulled a gun on a teenager as he kneeled on him, and he's now resigned and whatever. So as I'm going through Facebook, I keep running across, well, here's the real story. You know, this person whose family is in this particular apartment complex illegally was having the pool party. They had a DJ. It was getting out of hand. Kids were crashing the party. When the cops came in, the kids rushed the cops. And I love it how they say it was teenagers. Have you seen a teenager? They're miniature adults. They are pretty much adults. I've seen some of my daughter's friends. When they come walking towards me, I'm thinking, my God, these kids are twice as big as me. And I'm not talking fat. I'm talking big, as in burly or muscular. So when they sit there and say, oh, the cops pulled a gun on the poor teens, I'm like, okay, I guess maybe there was a reason when you see, you know, you're trying to arrest this one person and then – two or three come rushing at you. But then I got past, as I was reading all these arguments and agreeing with them, I look close and I go, oh, wow, every single one of these websites that are touting this nonsense are right-wing bloggers. Why am I listening to bloggers? What role did race play in how the police handled Texas pool party chaos? I don't care. So I just, I kind of checked out. I mean, the rest of the day, it was kind of like, it must be just something on Tuesday. There was more negativity on Facebook, and it was just pissing me off. And that's pretty much how I spent the day, waiting for carpet, sweating, reading Facebook, getting angry. And since I'm white, I'm going to go watch Fox News. Corey, what's freaking you out?
Joe, you could have spent the day reading funny books, you know.
We'll get to that when I get to the geeking part of things.
Okay. I have a few here. First, all but one of mine are comic book related. Number one, Marvel was talking about how they're going to have all these big announcements at the 2-day New York Comic Convention. Tons of big announcements.
Incredible announcements.
Brian Michael Bendis has taken over Iron Man, and Bendis talks about how outside of, you know, the comic bubble, Iron Man is kind of the number one Marvel hero.
He's hip.
So he's going to try to do that to the comic and make it the best-selling Marvel comic. And nothing else. So, Marvel, when you say you've got a whole bunch of big announcements.
Tons of them.
A whole bunch is more than one.
Just one.
Just one. The other thing involved in that, Brian Michael Bendis announced that X-Men number 600, which wraps up his run on the book, is coming out in
October, I believe, yeah.
So let's see. It was supposed to be out last month. So that would be June, July, August, September, 5 months late.
Not quite.
Thanks.
Deathmate territory, but close.
And we will already be like 3 or 4 months into the new version of the X-Men. So yeah, that's great planning, Marvel. Saturday night, I worked all weekend. I worked a lot this weekend. And when I got home Saturday, I was just dead tired. So I sat down on the couch and I said, you know, I should go do something. I should be social.
You should.
But instead, it's like, no, I have to be up and at work at 7 tomorrow. I'm exhausted. I keep hearing this show Tyrant on FX is really good. It's gotten good reviews. It's got a second season coming up soon. Why don't I binge watch it and get caught up before the new season starts?
Why not?
And I'm used to FX when I hear a show is good. You know, they had The Shield. They had Sons of Anarchy, which was good at times. They had Justified, which was the best TV show of the last 10 years. Yes, I thought it was better than Mad Men. They had Terriers, which was a brilliant show that only got one season. And even the network itself says that they messed up and didn't position it well. They had The Bridge, which won the Peabody Award. So, Joe, I'm expecting some quality. If this were the 1970s, this would have been one of those novels on sale at airports with the splashy cover. This was pure soap opera. It's a man who, his father was a dictator in a fictitious Middle Eastern country, gets fed up with how his father is treating the people, goes to America, builds a life, comes back for his nephew's wedding. And his father dies, and now he needs to stay to try to save the country. Which could have been a good premise, could have been a good idea. Talking about how, you know, getting into the morality and making tough moral choices and making compromises. No, it's about who's sleeping with who and who's crazy and who this person's stupid. And 5 episodes in, I tapped out. And then I went back and I read the reviews, and it's like, oh, 5 stars. I guess I can ignore your reviews now. Oh, you said it was one of the best new shows in the last few years. I can ignore your reviews now because our tastes don't match. Let's see. Marvel has announced that Secret Wars will be delayed.
What?
And because of Secret Wars being delayed, every one of the tie-ins is being delayed. Hey, Joe, remember Civil War?
Yeah.
Remember how it really screwed up your shop?
Yeah.
Remember how it pretty much caused you to close your shop?
That was a
remember how it
factor,
really yeah. hurt the business?
Yep, I tapped out on that one.
Guess what? Everything old is new again. If I were running a shop right now, I would be furious at Marvel because now you have just screwed up my budget for the next 3 months, maybe more, during my busiest time of year.
So get in there and support your comic shop because Lord knows Marvel's not.
Yep, get in there. Now's the time to pick up those trade paperbacks you've been eyeing for a while or try some of those new Image books. Next week I'm going to be going back to talking about the new number ones because I'm trying to read as many new number ones as I can. Thanks, Marvel. Thanks. You get me all excited. Now, as a reader, to me it's just, oh, stuff's going to be late. We've been talking about retail. As a retailer, you're looking at a huge hole in your budget. And then the last thing I have, Dan DiDio, the big head muckety muck at DC at the New York convention, said that we know that people are very confused by the ending of Convergence. We will have stories coming out over the next few months to clarify the ending. Joe, when you read a story, and the people who were involved in it say, okay, I know the story's over. We'll be doing more stuff so that it makes more sense. They failed in telling the story.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty straightforward. The multiverse is back.
Yeah, but now they're saying they need to clarify it, so who knows what.
Yeah, whatever.
It seems like your typical DC, hey, we did this, crap, we forgot this and we didn't do that. It's not as bad as Countdown, where Countdown, they actually had to go to the editor-in-chief of DC, had to fly to Scotland to calm down Grant Morrison because he said, I told you what you needed to do to lead into Final Crisis, and you didn't do any of it!
I had one thing to do.
I just wish that DC would finish a story and go, okay, it's all wrapped up. Remember Infinite Crisis, where they finished Infinite Crisis, and then when the trade paperback came out, they actually had to redraw and add pages because people were so confused by it. I don't know which is worse. Story's done. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Or, it's going to be delayed. Both are bad. Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving? What has got you going,
Doggy, I'm back on eBay again. KRAYZ, check it out. The deal's still the same. If you see something you like, you buy it or win it, let me know to email. You can always email me direct at crazycomics@gmail.com or just use eBay's site. I will probably give you free shipping and probably take one of the things that are currently surrounding me here in my basement hideaway and just randomly pick one and throw it in for you as a freebie. A couple of the things I'm putting on, I'm helping out the MCBA guys. They had a bunch of graphic novels that they were, or not graphic novels, but variant covers. They had a bunch of variant covers they were selling at their shop. Sold a few of them, so I'm putting them on eBay. Oddly enough, some of them are the Convergence covers, including the hot Convergence number one, because it's Adam Hughes with two Catwoman laying face to foot next to each other.
Hot.
The
hot comic.
Star Wars number two Han Solo action figure one, which for some reason is incredibly hot. Hot.
You need to move these to the plugs and not the
hot. Hot. No, because this is all eBay. eBaying's fun. And then, of course, Spider-Gwen and Uncle Scrooge, some of the incentive comics. You can tell which ones will go for the MCBA because I've actually put it in the title for MCBA, and I have their logo on it. On the personal side of things, I talked about last time two of the variant covers, or the sketch covers, that I got from the Lupus Foundation. I put them up They're pretty much at what I bought them for. If you want to take a look at them, see if they're your thing, check it out. And, of course, as time goes on and I slowly wade through stuff, more will go up and more will be plugged. So check it out. It should be fun. Fun, I tell you. Oh, as if I didn't have enough reasons to watch Daredevil on Netflix, they've announced John Bernthal will be the Punisher in season 2 of Daredevil. He, of course, was Shane on Walking Dead, and he was eerily creepy on that show. God knows what he's going to bring to the Punisher. Should be outstanding.
Outstanding!
Outstanding! My sister, or I shouldn't say my sister, but my brother-in-law, as he...
Yeah, they're two different
people. Well, no, because what it is my brother-in-law got him and my sister brought him over. A bunch of titles from the PX over when he's over there working his sound systems overseas. And I got a lot of the Marvel books that are made exclusively and for the guys overseas. They come under the Marvel Custom Edition or the Exchange Editions. And I got one from Iron Man, Avengers, a couple Avengers, and Thor. So it'd be kind of interesting. He actually got me duplicates, so I'll probably put a few of them online just so people can take a bid at them, see if you're interested. But it's kind of neat because they're a little bit smaller than regular comics, and they're all original stories. I don't know if they're considered canon. They certainly could be. As far as comics I actually read, way back in the vault, I picked up a copy of Brave and Bold number 150. This was back when Batman was teaming up with somebody every month. And this one had a big question mark on it. Can you discover who my co-star is in this special story? Corey, do you remember who the special co-star was in this special story named Today Gotham, Tomorrow the World?
Thanos.
That would have been Darkseid, yes. But no.
Let's see.
Somebody obscure.
Hoss!
No.
Hoss from Bonanza.
More obscure.
Let's see. The Captain Marvel from Myron Fass in the 60s who would yell split and his arms and legs would fly off and do things.
No.
The version of Dracula from Dell in the 60s who had
up.
No powers.
Thanks for playing.
Hold on. He had no powers, but he would stand on a chair with a cape to scare people.
Sorry, you're going to have to wait till next week to find the answer.
Okay.
As far as reading, and now I'm really depressed after geeking, I was going to wait until I got my shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, but damn, I've been digging Secret Wars. So I picked up a copy of Secret Wars. I got a variant cover so I can read it, and when I'm tired of it, sell it. It's getting better. Getting better all the time. A couple other ones I picked up to read, The Big Con Job, Part 3. It's a 4-issue miniseries. I've talked about this as they've been coming out. Bunch of Star Trek-type guys decide they're going to heist that there San Diego comic-type con. Issue number 2 of Xander Kander...
Xander Kander.
Xander Kander.
That's... I think he needs to change his
name
to Xander Kander.
Because I certainly can't pronounce his title.
Mrs. Joe! Get Xander Cannon on the phone. Tell him he needs to change his name.
Kaiju Max, number 2. I am really enjoying this book. He's going to do it, I guess. It sounds like 6-issue arcs, which will be fun. Part 1 of the Dark Side War started in Justice League 41. Could not wait. So, again, I picked up the variant cover so I could read it. Not as crazy as Secret Wars, but it's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to it. Daredevil 15.1 I done pick up and read because my good buddy Pete Krause did some art inside it. And, of course, with Mark Waid writing it, it's fantastic. And you don't even have to have read Daredevil before. You can just jump right on and read it. It's that good. I picked up a copy, don't judge me, My Little Pony Friendship, number 30, mainly because it was a Source exclusive cover.
By the way, I'm sitting over here judging.
Well, that's okay. I've been reading what you've been putting on Facebook. There's a lot of judging going on. Because as we all know, here come the judge. Here come the judge. The judge is coming. The judge is coming. No, there goes the judge. There goes the judge. Oh, hang on. I got to finish up. Speaking of number ones, I picked up three number ones that I didn't pick up originally, and I have to decide if I'm going to keep them. Number one was Groot number one. And I did pick up a variant cover that was Gwoot, G-W-O-O-T. And it reads like the Groot and Rocket Raccoon show. Rocket Raccoon's already got a book, so I don't know how much I'm going to hang on with this title. I mean, I was hoping it would just be Groot alone, but you'd have to have a really skilled writer to be able to make a Groot comic interesting when all he can say is, I am Groot. So, again, this is it's a lighter side one. It's kind of fun. I may change my mind. Like I said, this was just kind of the setup. But I was hoping it would be just Groot himself. Over at DC, I picked up Batmite number one. It was fun. You know, again, it's six issues, I believe. I don't think it's a full series. I will probably stick through it because, I mean, it's, like I said, kind of the lighter side of Batmite, and it seems kind of fun. But the one I really, really loved was Bizarro number one. I picked up number one, and it is fantastic. It's fun. It's just it's six issues again, and I'm just going to take it for the ride. The one reason I actually didn't read comics today, because as I said before, it's like 90 degrees out. I'm sweating. And Bizarro number one, and surprisingly a lot of the DC comics over the last couple months have those stupid shiny black covers. You know, you accidentally touch it and you've just embedded your fingerprint in it forever. So I didn't read any comics today, but I did read these back when it was a little cooler. That's pretty much all I've been geeking on. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you going? What's got you happier than Christina Hendricks?
Well, nothing makes me happier than Christina Hendricks.
Slowly taking down her top and hearing
I don't even need that.
A balloon flying out going, sorry.
Actually, you know, every so often there's a diva in wrestling that I go, oh, I like her. I really like her. I really, 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 really,
really,
really, really like the women's wrestling on NXT, not because the women are hot, but because they're good in the ring.
How good?
Now they're hot.
Oh,
don't
okay.
get me wrong.
Yeah. Never get you.
But they're really,
really
good in the ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you been watching NXT?
Negative.
Well then, did you watch the Elimination Chamber Sunday night?
I was working overtime Sunday night.
Tomorrow, you should watch the Elimination Chamber. Not only was it a great show, but you know how it's, Kevin Owens' debut on the main roster. Kevin Steen was one of my favorite wrestlers in Ring of Honor. They've brought him in. He's now the champion at NXT. He doesn't look like your average WWE wrestler. He's a tubby guy, but he's so good in the ring and so good on the mic. For his first match on the main roster, he's challenging John Cena at a pay-per-view. And he won.
Ooh.
Clean in the middle of the ring in the best match John Cena has had in years. Kevin Steen brought it. He blew away my expectations. It was an amazing match, and I tweeted out after it was over, this is why I watch wrestling. Because I know I complain a lot about wrestling, that, oh, God, you know, it's the same old thing. I'm tired of the so-called comedy, all the silliness, all the stupidity. That match, you know how people go, oh, wrestling's fake, you know. When it's done right, you don't care. When it's done right, it's like a great movie or a great book where you forget you're watching a movie or a TV show or reading a book. You're just sucked in. That may be the best match of the year. And I am so excited with what they're doing with Kevin Steen. it's one of the first guys in a while they've brought up from NXT that they didn't kill within weeks. Oh, and by the way, the one wrestler that I just like looking at, even though her matches are kind of okay, Paige. I like Paige. I like me my pale British chicks.
You'd like to turn the page.
Yeah, the crickets finally showed up.
Oh, good. I'm all worried about them.
Comic-wise, I have an EC podcast coming up on later this week. So I read the first six issues of Tales from the Crypt, and then I just kept reading. And, boy, I like me some EC. Joe, have you ever read a lot of the EC stuff?
Negative.
The stories are okay.
Never read it.
The stories are okay. But, man, you're looking at this Wally Wood art and going, you know, this is incredible. You're looking at this Jack Kamen art, Johnny Craig. Oh, I have fallen madly in love with Johnny Craig's art again. Al Feldstein's art's really stiff, but it's still Head and Shoulders, especially when I've been reading a lot of other, you know, Golden and Atomic Age comics. And I could see why the older fans just gravitated to EC, because the art is two steps above. You know, the stories are literate, you know, they're overwordy, and the prose is really purple. But man, that art is it just blows you away. It just blows you away how good that art is. And at the same time, they're doing these Simon and Kirby libraries, where here's a book of their superhero stuff, here's a book of their science fiction stuff. I finally got the Simon and Kirby crime book, and I hadn't read a lot of Simon and Kirby crime. And man, these guys knew how to put a story together. And again, if it looks a little dated, if you know Kirby, because it's Kirby's Golden Age style, but you could put it up against art today and it would hold up just fine. Really solid stuff. If you're interested, most libraries have it. Just go check it out from the library. It's a huge book and it's just full of comic book goodness. Marvel Unlimited.
We like us some comic book goodness.
Damn right. Marvel Unlimited, I'm getting caught up on a lot of series. I read the first six issues of Rocket Raccoon. I'm reading Loki, Agent of Asgard. And I cannot praise Marvel Unlimited enough. For $10, you get all this stuff. And a couple people who are my comic book friends, who are mostly DC folk, have signed up for Marvel Unlimited and emailed me, what should I start with? What should I try? So I'm saying, well, for the older stuff, you want Fantastic Four, like number 39 to number 80. For Spider-Man, you know, those first 40 issues are phenomenal. For the modern stuff, Mark Waid's Daredevil, the Hot Guy, you know, stuff like that. And they're all going, not only do they really enjoy the stuff, but because it's on the app, it's easier to read like popcorn. You binge read. And I could testify, I've been doing that for a while. And then the last thing that I'm geeking on, Joe, this is episode 193.
Mm-hmm.
We have six episodes and then episode 200.
But it's going to be 6 months late and come out in October.
No, it's going to be 6 months late and come out after episode 220.
Which is delayed for 3 months.
But I was talking with Scott Nutter last night. Before we got into the recording, he was asking me about this stuff. And we've been doing this for 5 years. We're about to hit 200 episodes. I've done 35 episodes of a solo podcast. We've got about 400 hours of audio goodness. I'm very proud of that.
I'm frankly
stunned.
And
I'm geeking over the fact that, you know, I'm geamed about episode 200. I'm excited we're going to hit episode 200. Because I remember when we were like around episode 15, episode 20, you were, you know, we're going to run out of stories eventually and we'll probably just, you know, not. If we make it to 50 episodes, I'll be shocked. You were wrong!
Evolving into different things. I mean, we, you know, Tales from the Shop comes and goes. You know, we used to do something, Where in the World Was I, as I was traveling. you know, we haven't reached into my bag of invoices in a while. We got all sorts of things we've done, things that we've stopped, things that pop up when they occur. So it's just fun, you know, and I may even have to start going back to some of the early shows and just going through it, because I know there are things we said we'll get to it that we probably never have. And our listeners are too polite to point that out to us. So we've got promises to make and at least another 200 to do.
One of my favorite podcasts, Russell Crap Radio, which is now the RDM Blade Show. Blade Braxton was listening to old stuff and he said, hey, yeah, back in 2008, I said I was going to have a huge announcement, this really big announcement. Did I ever make that announcement? And when it was pointed out that he never did, he's like, oh, well, I need to make a big announcement soon, don't I?
I wonder what it was.
Oh, he finally told us what it was. He was going to be managing a wrestler at an indie event. And I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody who used to be famous in the 80s, and he was going to be their manager. The problem was the event got canceled, so he never made the announcement. But he says, but I'll make it up to you. There will be a big announcement.
It better be bigger. Well, that reminds us of our big announcement.
We have a big announcement?
Yeah, we'll get to it in 8 years.
Oh, okay. And the last thing I'm going to geek on, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a huge fan of the Turner Classic Movies. Turner Classic Movies all summer is doing noir films, crime films.
Some days I miss not having cable or Dish.
But Friday nights, noir movies for June and July. So if you want me to talk to you, if you want to go do something, it ain't going to be Fridays.
It's not going to happen.
Well, it'll happen, just not on Fridays.
Not on Fridays.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for, an hour and a half.
Thank you. So thank you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, don't you normally make a comment there?
Never.
And as we say every week, kids, the comics we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Yesterday, I accidentally swallowed some food coloring. The doctor says I'm okay, but I feel like I've died a little inside. Hit my music. I feel like dancing.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo.
Funk is
can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
What you got for me?